Please welcome Gene Melter.
Thanks for that gracious introduction, Kirk. Good evening. Well, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, I told you that I placed a relationship ad in the San Francisco Bay Guardian. This is when I lived in a single white female living in San Francisco in the 1980s. And young people, this is the precursor to online dating. And I did it for two reasons. One, I wanted to meet someone, and the other was I knew someone, an actor, who worked at the Bay Guardian, and he had this idea that I could write a show, you know, based on my experiences. And, you know, I would just take notes and everything. So as a result of that ad, I did not meet someone wonderful. I had 7 awful dates with 7 different men. And I didn't end up writing the show, but I did take some notes. And so when I told you a few years ago that I was going to tell you the story of the very worst date, and it was the worst date because it was so dangerous, and it was an ocean kayaking experience where I ended up in a cave, the water coming and I'm spinning, and the water going out, I'm spinning like I was in a giant toilet, and. But then when leading up to tonight, I thought, well, you know, the other 6 dates were pretty awful too, so they're worth telling you about. So I'm just going to race through the three dates that were awful but not that interesting. So nurse. So this is a male RN who moved to San Francisco and answered my ad because he was just looking to meet people. And the conversation the whole evening, we're at some coffee shop, is about whether or not he's gay. And it's about people think he's gay. He doesn't know why. Do I think he's gay? And I said I didn't have an opinion, but I did have an opinion. So that, you know, the one day, and then there was this contractor. He'd send these all, they're writing letters and some of them sending pictures, and he's got like a tool belt, which appeals to women, and but he was depressed guy, you know, he was sad guy. There were no smiles or laughter. Everything was shitty in the world, and so that was just with a one coffee, you know, 1 hour of coffee, that was it. And then there was a guy who was a very successful advertising executive who'd been transferred to San Francisco from New York. And boy, did he pull up in a gorgeous car. I'm not a car person, but this was like a vintage Porsche. And my neighbors even asked me about the guy, you know, they noticed the car and everything. And I like to think I'm pretty open-minded about people's appearance. I like to think that I'm not like narrow about it. But I am particular about people's personal grooming, which is different from appearance. So this guy was kind of clammy, you know? He was just one of those damp people. And he was fine. It might have gone somewhere, but I just couldn't, I didn't want to hold his hand or, there's never going to be any closeness, you know? So I just let him go, set him free. And, all right, so then now we get to the last two dates. I don't know if they were in this order. I'm just saying an order of awfulness. And so this guy was an ER doctor, young guy, like 30, and he was a world traveler. And we agreed to meet at the Japanese Tea Garden, which is a beautiful, serene place in Golden Gate Park. And he pulls up on a motorcycle, which is like a mixed thing for a lot of women. Like, it's cool but stupid. So, but, and then he's very intense. He's just one of these very serious, very intelligent, very articulate, very just intense guy. And I'm already nervous. Before all these dates, I was just a wreck. I'm not built for this kind of thing, like facing the unknown like this. So I'm already nervous, and I'm just getting kind of more and more nervous. And we're sitting down at a little table in the garden, and we've got our tea, and I'm just sort of babbling. So instead of getting quiet when I'm nervous, I just talk more, which isn't great, but it's This is the way it is. And so I'm just sort of babbling. And then I said, oh, so have you been traveling lately? Where have you been lately? And he tells me that he's just come back from Israel. And then I'm not thinking. Words are just coming out of my mouth. And I say something kind of sympathetic toward the Palestinians. And this sets him off. So he explodes in the middle of the Japanese tea garden. And don't I believe Israel has the right to exist? And the Palestinians are treated better than any prisoners of war, you know, in the history of the world, and all this, and they're not great people either. And he's just going on, and he's getting very, very worked up, and I'm looking around, and I'm just feeling like, sorry, folks, I didn't mean to do it. And we even start walking a little. I suggest a little walk, and he's just ranting, and he's really pressing me, too, on my policy stance about Israel, and I don't have one. I haven't given it that much thought. Those words just about policy, I just heard them somewhere, and they just came out. So it was a completely unpleasant, nerve-wracking date. And I walk him to his motorcycle, and I was just so relieved to watch him zoom off, you know. So, all right, so the last date in awfulness, second to the kayaking date, which, of course, I almost died during. So this guy is an entrepreneur, and he's, even though he's young, he lives in a house of his own house in Walnut Creek, which is very, very upscale. And he's like young, but he owns a house. Most people, I lived in a shoebox. Other people lived with roommates in like a rundown Victorian, but he lives in like a nice grown-up house. And he has some sort of business, I can't remember what it is. And I'm tired of meeting for coffee, and I suggest some sort of activity. Like, what does he like to do? And so we're talking on the phone. He's like pleasant guy. I don't like him that much on the phone, but I, you know, I'm gonna give him a try. And he suggests archery, which is one of the many things he's good at, because he's kind of braggy, and he can teach me to do archery. I think, well, that sounds fun. I've never held a bow and arrow, so I go to his house in Walnut Creek and pick him up. I was fairly careful about the safety thing. I was driving. He's just sort of bragging all the way to our destination. He loads the car, you know, the equipment in the car. And he's just good at everything, and he knows everything. He's not very curious about me. And just talking about himself, self. And I don't like him, but I know I never want to see him again. But I don't know how to get out of the situation, and might as well get the archery lesson, then beat it on home, and then it's over. So we ended up at a high school, and it's summertime. It's completely empty. There's just no one around. And he sets up the target, and then he sets up the bows and arrows. And they're really complicated contraptions. It's not like Native American or you know, the Manchurians or whoever. You know, they're not. They're like lots of metal. They're kind of like machines, you know. And he's, you know, explaining everything. He's mansplaining, you know. This is how it works, and this is how many pounds per inch or whatever. And he tells me that I have to be very careful, because these things can kill a person as easily as a bullet. Like, if you shoot somebody with this thing, that arrow will go right through them. And so I say, oh, I'll be careful. So he's showing me, and he's showing how to pull it back and everything. And I let go, and it's like thunk, and it's super satisfying. And I shoot a few more arrows, and I feel pretty good about it. Like, it's a sport I feel like I could maybe be good at. And I thunk. But he's just yammering away about himself and braggy and how good he is at it and blah, blah, blah. And I had the most terrible, evil thought. I could just turn, you know, like a quarter of a, and let go. I could kill him, and I probably would get away with it. There were no witnesses whatsoever. But, of course, I kept the thought to myself, just kind of entertained myself with a fantasy. And it just went, as I said, we drove back home. He's expecting, he thinks it went great. He's going to get a call from me. You know, I don't, and I know that's not going to happen. But I think what's ironic is that Cupid uses a bow and arrow. Thank you.